Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning. I am Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor, and I am glad to be back with you. I've been sick with the COVID, but I'm all better. In fact, I'm going to take this off. I can say welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We are so glad you're here with us because we want to know God, we want to love God, we want to serve God. And today is the third Sunday in Advent. And Pastor John's going to be bringing us an interesting message about joy, but his main character is Joseph. So we're going to have to see how he manages to pull those two together. We'll see what he does, because there's an important message for us there. In your bulletin, you found connection cards, so fill those out. Let us know you're here. Let us know what you're interested in, and you know, there are prayer cards in the pews, and you can fill those out. We have people who pray for everyone that fills out one of those cards. We pray about what you're asking to pray about, and the staff prays about it, too. So please do that. And online, you can go to the website, and you can do those same things. If there are any children that are here in the sanctuary this morning, other than our Advent family, you can go to Sunday school anytime you'd like. You're going to be down in the fellowship hall, and today they're doing something really fun. They're packing lunches for Noah. Isn't that a great thing to do in Advent? Be sure to come back tonight at 5 o'clock. There is going to be a fabulous Young People's Worship Arts Christmas musical. And there's a supper, which mostly people had to sign up for, but they tell me there might be a little extra food. But you can come to the musical, and I think that would be great. Christmas Eve, there are 5 services that this congregation supports, 1 in Whitmore Lake, 4 here. So you can go online, and you can find all those times. This is a great place to be on Christmas Eve. And then finally, we're collecting socks, adult socks, for the Regency nursing facility in Whitmore Lake. And so next week when you come, or next week while you're out shopping, grab some adult size men's or women's socks, bring them, and put them on that tree out there, okay? Now I invite you, our worship leaders. Today we have Sue Urban and Greg Guise, and I invite you to remain seated as we're going to sing A Star Shone Bright, verses 3 and 4, number 3051, as the Toby family comes forward to lead us in lighting the Advent wreath.
Thank you. Today we gather as people on the journey of joy. We join with a hopeful throng in the lighting of the Advent candles, symbols of our faith and signs of God's love. The world is decked in the garb of celebration, tinsel and lights, garlands of greenery, brightly colored packages, and flashing Christmas greetings cover our world.
The world is engaged in the spirit of celebration, festive singing, fine food, merry parties, and grand traditions. Yet, the best efforts fall short, for it is the birth of the Messiah we wait. It is the incarnate of God for which we celebrate. How can we respond to the greatness of this event? How can we celebrate the Messiah's promised birth? We celebrate in worship. We offer our lives to Christ. We serve our neighbors with great joy. Advent is a time of joyful worship and waiting. It is a time of anticipation when the busiest of us must pause and wander. Let us gather in a spirit of gladness, light the candle of joy, remembering that Jesus is the joy to the world. Please stand and sing, O Emmanuel.
Opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we anticipate the joy of your birth today in worship. Help our celebrations of Christmas to be a visible reminder to others of Jesus in the world, just as Joseph reminds us that legacy isn't about power and wealth, but about humility and service. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. we're out of the crowded box now and we have a little bit of space.
Can you believe it? I've been a shepherd for 18 years, now they want to pull the wool over my eyes. First, they lose my sheep, and they give me this goofy thing to replace it with.
Hey, at least you're all in one piece. They promised they were going to put me together again after I broke last year, but they didn't, and now I can't even find my other wing.
It'll be okay.
Oh, gosh, I hope so.
Hey, everybody.
Wise man.
More like a wise guy.
Oh, I hear Bronner's issued a recall on you.
Hey, wise man, where are your other wise men? Where are Balthazar and Caspar?
Well, you remember when the humans were rummaging around in the storage room last summer? Yeah. Our box tipped over, and those guys fell out along with my crown and my gold. As disorganized as this family is, I'm afraid we may never see them again.
No, stop it, Joker.
But you have to be fair. Everyone is disorganized this time of year. There's just so much to do.
Oh, I can feel the tension rising already. They're overextending.
Overindulging.
Overspending.
Yeah, but just like every year, we're not going to spend that much this year.
You're
going to
say it.
It's a tradition. Every year, they manage to say it with a straight face. Kids, this year, we're going to cut back.
And every year, they keep adding more.
They do.
You remember last year, the presents were stacked so high, you couldn't even see the manger.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah. It's not just the presents, either. It's the parties and the pageants and the dramas and the concerts and the cards and the cookie exchanges.
Oh, the cookies, yeah. Remember the year that they made so many cookies, they set off the smoke alarm? What was that?
It's the sounds of the holidays. They're putting up lights. They just had the traditional near-catastrophe encounter with a ladder ceremony.
These guys.
I can feel the tension rising. But they're trying to do so much. What is it they're trying to do?
I don't know.
Well, I think they're trying to find joy.
Joy?
Joy. Huh. The joy of the season, the joy of Christmas. It's what this is all supposed to be about.
Oh, they may be trying to find joy, but what they're coming up with looks a lot like exhaustion.
Yeah. Shh, somebody's coming.
I bring you a scripture reading this morning from the book of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All of our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, what a great skit. It's if toys could talk, right? If those who are gathered around the scene of a manger could talk, what would they tell us about the lives that they see unfold during this Advent season? That skit reminded me of when I first got Disney Plus, which is a great streaming service when you have a 5- and a 7-year-old in your house. And I sat down with Joshua and Lydia at some point during the last couple of years, and I was like, let's watch Toy Story, you know, which I thought was a great movie. It was filled with comedy, and I thought everyone would enjoy that. But I remember watching my son completely freak out. I mean, I could have shown him like the most terrifying Halloween horror story movie in the entire world, and I don't know if it would have freaked him out as much as the terrifying thought that maybe toys move around and talk to each other when you're not in the room. And he's like, Dad, we can never watch Toy Story again. That was definitely a misfire, miscalculation on my behalf as a parent. Nevertheless, we haven't watched Toy Story since, but if our manger scenes could talk, what stories might they tell about the busyness of our Advent season? Speaking of toys, yesterday, Joshua was competing in a Lego League competition over at Brighton High School, and we gathered together with probably like 200 or 300 other kids who were competing to build all different kinds of toys. And Joshua's group was a group of about 7 or 8 kids, and I was over at Brighton High School in the STEAM Center for about 6 hours yesterday. It was a beautiful morning, but I think my favorite part of the whole experience was talking with other parents. And there was another parent of a child that was in Joshua's team that came over, and we just started talking about the holidays and Advent and what's going on. And I have to tell you, there are some times that I just want to be Joshua's dad, you know? I don't necessarily want to be Pastor John. And so it was interesting when the parent came up to me and said, hey, Mr. Reynolds, I was like, where's my dad? You know, like, I'm so accustomed to hearing Reverend John or Pastor John or Reverend John, whatever it might be. And so anyway, Mr. Reynolds, and, you know, so I was like, started to talk with him, and he shared with me, you know, some things, and he said, well, how's your Advent going? And I said, well, it's really good, you know, we have a pretty busy household this time of year. And he said, oh, what do you have on the calendar? And I, you know, I reached this decision point, right? Like, am I going to share? Are we going down this road? Am I going to become Pastor John in this moment? And I did. And I said, you know, actually, my wife and I are pastors at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, and so we've got this, you know, this afternoon. Right now, there are folks handing out gifts of hope, you know, that go to foster children throughout Livingston County, and tomorrow we've got a beautiful musical that we're excited about. It's the week 3 of Advent. There's a sermon series, you know, what we've got going on. Christmas Eve is coming, and we've got services at 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, and I said it differently than this. I wasn't, like, just rattling these things off or whatever. And he said, you're kidding me. And he said, my wife and I have been looking for a church. And our son, you know, his name was Joseph. And I've just got to tell you this story. You're not going to believe this. But the very first words out of his mouth, his first word out of his mouth was Jesus. So we've been looking for a place to foster this, like, interest that he has. He's been asking us all these questions, and we're excited to help give him the answers. And he said, we'd really love to find a church where, you know, we could get involved in missions and, you know, take him places that would teach people about folks maybe who are less fortunate than we've been, you know, in the course of our life. And we're looking for a place with, you know, a good Sunday school program that could teach him, you know, the Bible stories. And I was like, well, I think I've got a place in mind for you. You'd be welcome here. But it just was such a reminder, you know, when we read this story about Joseph, this moment that he has. And I imagine most of us, right? Like, if we were approached by the person we were betrothed to and they said, like, you know, I've got some news to share with you. And I just sometimes imagine, you know, like, that conversation, those kind of conversations, like, in our household, they either take place on a walk or, like, late at night when we can no longer cope, you know, and we're like, all right, I'm going to drop one more bomb tonight. Here we go. Joseph, I'm going to try this out for you. I love you, but I'm expecting. Now, if you can put yourself in Joseph's shoes, right, He's engaged. Probably one of the most exciting times in many of our lives when you love somebody, you care somebody about somebody, and you're excited to spend, you know, your life with them and create a life together, and all of a sudden they come to you with something that's like, you know, beyond your imagination or beyond your conception, right? They're expecting, and you sort of know, right? Like that, well, that we weren't involved together. How would you react? And I find myself thinking, like, you know, was Joseph just hurt, devastated, beyond possible imagination, a breach of trust? What I thought we were in this together, you know, we planned our life together. We had future dreams, hopes, and expectations, you know, and what happened? Was he angry, you know? Did he just, like, storm out of the room and not talk to Mary for, like, a week on end, you know, and was Joseph, you know, just overcome with confusion? Was he disoriented? Was he in shock, right? Probably all of those things, I imagine, because that's how most of us would probably respond to news like that. And the scriptures even tell us, like, Joseph was right on the cusp of just saying, you know, Mary, I respect you, and I know that, like, by the code, right, by the code of Leviticus, by the law of the land, some terrible things could have ended up happening to Mary. And I don't know how often that was practiced or what people actually legitimately decided to do when something like this took place in the ancient world, but suffice it to say, I imagine this moment just being absolutely loaded with human emotions. Just like Advent these days, you know? Families getting together, conversations and disagreements and maybe conflicts that, like, haven't yet been resolved, right? And sometimes Advents are just, like, loaded with all kinds of human emotions and experience. And I imagine Joseph hearing all this news from Mary, he's already got a plan. Mary, I'm just going to let you go. Whoever the dad is, if you really love them, you know, you can spend the rest of your life with them. No big deal. I'm just going to go quietly. We can end this whole thing right now. That's not how the story ended. Joseph went to sleep one night, and an angel, the scriptures tell us, came to Joseph in a dream. And I don't know what kind of dreams you have in your life. Maybe none. Maybe your life is filled with dreams. Maybe dreams are a big part of your sleeping experience. Maybe they're no part of your sleeping experience. I have to confess, most of the time I wake up and I'm like, I just had a dream, and it was so intense and vivid and right on the top of my mind. And then, like, 5 minutes later, if I was, like, you know, meeting with somebody, like a therapist, and they're like, what are you dreaming about? I'd be like, I don't know. I wake up with my heart racing, and then I just lose it, you know? But in this moment, this particular dream changed Joseph's trajectory enough that he was able to accept that Jesus coming into the world was part of God's plan. He was willing to change, in some ways, the course of history. And why I think this is so important, and Adam Hamilton did a great job of articulating this in the study we've been doing together as a church over the course of Advent, this book he wrote called The Journey. The reason why I think it changed the course of history is because when Jesus talked about God for the rest of his ministry, every time that he referred to God, he referred to God in the most loving way that you could refer to a father. He said, Daddy. And what I find absolutely fascinating about the scriptures is, like, Joseph, this, like, central character at some levels to Jesus's life and development. I mean, we believe Joseph probably stuck around. There were no quotes attributed to Joseph in all of Scripture. He's completely silent. There's no, you know, references to anything that he said or did. There are only, like, a couple of lines that we have in the entire Bible about who this Joseph is. But what I find compelling is that throughout the rest of Jesus's life and ministry, when he looked up to God, he didn't look up to God with a disdain and be like, Dad! Or whatever the appropriate, you know, Greek would be for that. He said, Daddy. Which suggests that not only Joseph was a good father, but perhaps a good role model, a good example of what it means to live a faith-filled life, because he didn't do anything to get in the way of Jesus' love for his father. Another thing that we know about Joseph is that he was a carpenter, which means he worked with his hands. And the town that he worked, right, like this town of Nazareth was very small. We probably talked about that a couple of weeks ago. There weren't a ton of people there, probably 600. Now, I have to tell you, you know, I grew up in Oakland County and Clarkston, where like everywhere you go, it's just suburban sprawl, right? And so when you go to have work done on your house, you might call multiple contractors. The chance of you knowing all of them or even one of them is pretty low. Maybe you get a reference. But in a small town, right, there's only a couple of carpenters, and you can pretty easily reach out to two or three other people that have had the same kind of work done in their house. So in many respects, right, they're only as good as their word. I mean, imagine a town of 600. Like, there's only so many carpenters in the town. You can't do a bad job, right? Or you will never be able to build again. And so Joseph, living in this small town with his wife Mary, raising Jesus, fairly humble. The scriptures don't have a lot to say about him. He's said to be a builder, a carpenter, one who worked with his hands, perhaps a person of deep integrity, a person who's humble and not the center of attention for the rest of the story. And this is who, and I keep coming back to this season of Advent, like, this is the family that God chose to enter the world into. There were millions others out there. Maybe not all of them would make the cut. But this guy, I think, so there's some reason to look at Joseph and ask questions about what kind of person Joseph might have been, that God in heaven, that Jesus would say, like, yep, that's the family. That's the holy family. That's where I want the story to begin. And you think like, oh, I bet he comes from a really great line. I bet his ancestors were really wonderful people. If you back up in Matthew's gospel, it literally gives the whole genealogy of Joseph's family. And I'm here to tell you, if you spend a little bit of time just Googling, you know, the 28 names, because there's 14 generations starting with Abraham going to David, and then another 14 generations from David that come down to Joseph. And I'm here to tell you, if you Google those names, I shouldn't advise this. Maybe most of our children are downstairs in Sunday school, but if you Google most of those names, the stories about those people are not PG. Their family is exactly like ours. You look back and there's an uncle that, you know, just not many people spend a whole lot of time there, you know. There's women in the midst of that genealogy make fascinating life choices. Even David himself, complicated story of somebody who's said to be after God's own heart, who has an affair with somebody he had no business being with. And it's that lineage, that broken, you know, sort of destroyed lineage that Matthew says the birth of the Messiah took place in this way, which to me has always said, no matter how messed up your family is, no matter how many, you know, if you were meeting with a therapist and they're like, draw your squiggly lines between your relatives, you know, or your two lines when your relationship is sound. And if you were to go through your family tree and trace all of the places where there's brokenness and struggle and conflict, you would fit right in with the Holy Family. Now, I know our Catholic brothers and sisters want to hold on to an image of Mary that is absolutely pure and blameless and totally without sin. But I'm here to say, like, the genealogy of Matthew, and I'm not criticizing their perspective. They can hold on to that if they want. But I actually find Joseph and Mary to be far more compelling when I think, like, they weren't perfect people. They were just like us. And if they were able to bring Jesus into the world, then I guess that in my own broken way, in my own feeble way, when I'm sitting at a Lego competition going like, should I bring Jesus into this conversation or not? What if I say the wrong thing? What if these people think I'm absolutely nuts for being a United Methodist pastor? What if we get into this big, long theological debate when I'm really just supposed to be here with my son, watching him build Legos, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and we end up, you know, going heel, you know, fisticuffs over some theological issue, which has happened, right? But if Joseph and Mary, in their brokenness, on that first Advent season, when Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant, and I imagine he has this whole gamut of emotions, and he's totally freaking out, if in that moment those two ordinary people, and we don't know whether Joseph was an old man, that's the traditional teachings of the Catholics, that maybe he was 93 years old, or if he was a young man, perhaps 14, which is more of the Protestant belief, one way or another, that these two people were able to bring Christ into the world in that moment, then maybe we can all have the courage when standing at a Lego League competition to say, you know, Advent's pretty busy for us. We're United Methodist pastors, and you never know when at some moment somebody might receive the light of Christ through our broken vessels, through our imperfect family lineages, through all the mistakes that we've made. None of us are perfect God-bearers. But we can all bring Christ into the world. There's a whole other level in Joseph's age. There was the tecton, the builder, which is just an ordinary, like, journeyman carpenter. And then there was the architecton, which, you know, we now get the word architect from. And we learn in the scriptures that they don't use architecton to describe Joseph. He was just a tecton, an ordinary guy. He wasn't a supervisor. He wasn't the boss. He wasn't in charge. He just literally took orders from whomever, and he built according to the plans of the architecton. In some ways, we could look at Joseph as somebody who just showed up for work. You know, he did his job. He wasn't uniquely special or highly exalted or anything like that. He didn't get a single line in the play. But God used him. And in this particular story, you know, we find out that Joseph was on the verge of leaving Mary, and he didn't. So I hope whatever happens to you during your Advent season, no matter what's going on in your life, that you, like Joseph, would listen to the voice of angels, that you would have your eyes and imagination open to whatever dreams you might be having in your life, wherever God is directing you to go, that you would have a spirit of openness to hear where God might be leading you. And I guarantee you this, your life will never be the same. If you follow God's prompting, it will take you to great and beautiful and creative and unimaginable places. I hope you find folks in our community who are looking for a church home. And I hope you have the courage in that moment to say, I've got a place in mind for you. Because you never know how the course of history gets changed by those ordinary and remarkable promptings of the Holy Spirit. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we're grateful that Jesus didn't come only from a lineage of kings, that Jesus came from ordinary people just like all of us gathered here, and yet you used Joseph and Mary to do this extraordinary thing. And so we gather around the scene of the manger, wondering what our manger characters might say to us today, whether they be the wise men or the shepherd or Mary or Joseph. We gather around Jesus's birth, peering in, remembering and holding on to the details of the story, hoping to find hope and inspiration for our world today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Joseph. It was great having Joseph here this morning, and I've had a chance to work with Joseph. Just a few weeks ago, back in November, had a chance to work with him, and I can see some of these characteristics, because when I brought the volunteers there, I got out of the clown car looking more like the Pillsbury Doughboy, dressed like Ralphie's brother in A Christmas Story. And I when John mentioned devastated, anger, confusion, I can picture Joseph looking at his volunteers kind of like that. How am I supposed to build this ramp with this crowd? And he's pretty amazing. And it's just an example of all the chances that we have to serve and Christ growing with us and knowing that as he works in us, that someday he'll complete his work and we'll experience complete joy. It's amazing time of year. Now, won't you please take a look at the quilts that we have up here. We have three quilts today. One is for Bettina, another is for Grace, and another is for Liz. Please take time after the service to, if you haven't already done so, sign the cards and tie a knot on the quilts and say a prayer for each one of them. And now let's pray over these quilts, please. Heavenly Father, it's a wonderful time of year, and there are difficulties, and sometimes please offer your healing, your strength, and your comfort for these three individuals as they wrap themselves in these prayer quilts, that they may know that there are people thinking of them and that you are with them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now, won't you please join me in an attitude of prayer? Great are you, Lord, creator of the heavens. Strength and joy are in your dwelling place. We enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, as you alone are worthy. Let your light shine on us and fill our hearts with joy as we celebrate the coming of your Son. You offer great wisdom and show us options we don't see, like your angel showed Joseph. We can be grateful for his example of a righteous man seeking the wisdom of obeying your will. Help us obey your will, remain in your love, and experience complete joy in your Son, Jesus. Heavenly Father, you sent Jesus to save the world by making us right with you through belief in him. Help us focus on your power, majesty, love, and joy when the holidays become overwhelming. Guide our holiday consumption and fill us with righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we rejoice and give thanks that you are near. Hear our silent requests, prayers, and petitions. Thank you for hearing our prayers in the name of Jesus, who loves us and makes our joy complete. Help us share the joy of Jesus by praising him and doing good during this Christmas season. Come now, let us pray the prayer together, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So isn't it wonderful that joy, even these kind of smiles, can come through imperfect people, as Pastor John has talked to us, and we are all that way. And so, that deep joy, we want to express it. We want to pass it on. And the offerings are one opportunity to do that. So I invite you to find joy in giving this year, to bring joy into the lives of others. The ushers may come forward.
Lord, you have brought us true joy in our lives. We bring our humble gifts to the work of your church today. Let these gifts be used to bring joy to those who don't know you yet. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, as we conclude this third week of Advent, this worship experience here, I just want to say, as we come into this Christmas season, one of the things that I'm most grateful for and so thankful for is this last week we had an opportunity to hire a new custodian here at the church who started. Her name is Michelle Lucas, and she's here Monday through Thursdays from 9 to noon. And if you see her, you'll just immediately recognize her because she's so fast you can be like, hey, and she's gone. She's just like zooming all around the building. So please say hi to her if you're in the building. She's new, but one of my greatest joys that we've had happen this fall is bringing Reverend Lynn on our staff and also welcoming Deacon Loretta to be a part of our pastoral care team with Stephanie and Lindsay and myself. And Pastor Allison has been a part of that group. And then Reverend Fred Hatfield from down at the Whitmore Lake campus, a retired pastor, has also joined that group to allow us to make sure that as we go into the Advent season, as folks get surgeries and as we, you know, move through all this season, that there are folks reaching out and caring for our congregation. So I'm just grateful for that team, and I'm grateful for the collegiality and the support. Thank you so much for being a part of the ministries of our church. As we go out into the world, I pray we would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.